This is going to be very difficult. I'm going to be talking in a microphone and not hear it. Hallelujah. Okay, God is good. Amen. And we thank God for today. And Valentine's Day is a day for celebrating love. Amen. Unfortunately, the concept of love is one that has been stolen by the world to use it for their own purposes. Isn't it? Yeah. So what a lot of people mean when they say love or I love you, you know, is very different from what God what God means when he said love. Hallelujah. Amen. But God is the greatest Valentine of all. Is it not the case? Yes. And when he loved and had an abundance of love, what he did was different from what a lot of people do when they have a lot or claim to have a lot of love. Is it not true? When the worldly people claim to have a lot of love, it only leads to a lot of fornication and a lot of badness. Isn't it? Valentine's Day might as well be called World Fornication Day. International Fornication Day. Do you understand? But God, when he loved us, do you understand? He did something different, isn't it? Yes. And so tonight, all I want to do is to read with you some of the scriptures, some of the most profound scriptures about love. Hallelujah. Amen. To stir up and help our understanding of love. What do you think? So that next time when you say to somebody, I love you, you'd actually think a little bit before you say it in the first place. Do you understand? And then also to challenge yourself to the standard that God has set for loving people in this world. Say amen. Amen. So the first one, of course, is the greatest scripture of all. Shouldn't we read that first? John chapter 3 and verse 16, isn't it? John 3:16 should be the first scripture for tonight. Amen. Yeah. John 3:16. It says that God so loved the world that he took the world to a Chinese restaurant. Is that what it says? Chi-chi. God so loved the world that he took the world to a Chinese restaurant. Isn't it? But when we claim to love people, then we say that because we took you to a Chinese restaurant, it means we love you. Huh? Gloria. Huh? But look, you say I don't love you, but I took you to Chinese the other day. You know, I took you to Chinese. I bought the thing from you, for you from Macy's. It was even on sale. And then I bargained a little bit and I bought it for you. And you say, I don't love you. No, 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 no. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Amen. So God so loved the world that he made a provision that will allow people to spend eternity with him. Do you understand? He made a provision that will allow people to spend the rest of their lives with him. Hallelujah. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. this is the greatest expression of love anybody can think of. Hallelujah. And all of our love put together, when measured against this standard of love, our love pales into something that cannot even begin to be called love. Hallelujah. So this is a powerful scripture. It shows that God's love is strong and God's love is intense. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 8, you see another description of God's love. Romans chapter 8 from verse 28. Let's read all the way down from there. I like your projector screen. It's very sharp. Right. Can you guys read from the back? Can you see it? It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Okay? "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." Okay, so firstborn, I want many brethren. "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified." Can you see that? "And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Hallelujah. "So what shall we say then to these things?" In other words, what does all this mean? That if God be for us, who can be against us? "He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Hallelujah. "How shall he not with the Son also freely give us all things?" Isn't it? Then it says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" In other words, when God has chosen somebody and God has said, "This is my choice. This is the person I like," who can bring something against the person that God has chosen? Hallelujah. See, it's very easy to find ourselves sometimes judging God's choice, isn't it? God chooses somebody, God is using somebody, and we question it. And we say, how can such a person be a pastor? How can such a person be a singer? How can such a person even claim to be a Christian? Do you understand? But when God takes somebody, the Bible says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" Do you see? Then he says, "It is God that justifies." God is the one who says, "Look, I like this person. This person is okay before me." He says, "It is Christ. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Do you understand? In other words, who is the person who is condemning anybody that God has chosen? Rather, Christ died. And he says, instead of even talking about death, let's rather say Christ rose again from the dead. Do you understand? And has gone to heaven and has sat at the right hand of God and is talking to God about the people that God is choosing. Do you understand? He's making intercession for us. That means he's interceding and begging God and talking on our behalf and chipping in a word or two on our behalf. So even when you are going down and even when you think you do not qualify, Christ is sitting at the right hand of God and says, "God, please give him a booster. Let him pass." Even when you are failing, Christ is there and he's making intercession. Said, "Lord, can you see? He has even tried. He has tried. So allow him. Allow him." And so you find people being moved in because Christ is the one who is justifying us. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So it says, the next verse 35, It says, have you got 35? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Okay. Then it says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake are we killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Can I have an amen? It says, through him who loved us, we are more than conquerors in all these circumstances. None of these things, nothing you go through in your life can separate us from the love of God. That is why I'm telling you that God is the greatest Valentine of all time. Hallelujah. He says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. All these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. You see, a lot of love ends with death. In fact, in the marriage vows, you say that till death do us part. Do you understand? That when death occurs, then the love between two people is supposed to be over. But not the love of God. The love of God, even after you die, he has a provision for you. Are you understanding it? So that's why it says that even death cannot separate us from the love of God. And life itself cannot separate us from the love of God. And angels cannot separate us from the love of God. Are you hearing me? And principalities, that means demons and evil spirits, cannot separate us from the love of God. And powers, and then things present, and then things to come. So the past, the present, and the future, none of them has the ability to separate us from the love of God. Wow, isn't that a powerful love? Yeah? And then verse 39, it says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I have an amen? Amen. Isn't that powerful? Yeah. That is strong love. Hallelujah. That is strong love. So when people claim that, look, I love the person, then they are dearly. Even God has not said he loves us dearly. You get it? But he just his love as it is cannot, even his love in is just his basic form of love. He's not even adding dearly. We are the ones who say, Charlie, I love you dearly. But the slightest thing is able to separate us from this so-called love that we have. Because our love is so fake. And our love is so shallow. Our love is not real. Height can separate us, isn't it? Depth can separate us. Other creatures can separate us. Is it not the case? Yeah. All the other things that cannot separate people from the love of God, they separate us from the love that we claim to have for one another. Hallelujah. That is why the greatest thing is the love that God gives to us. Hallelujah. And we must strive to love one another with the same love that God has loved us. Hallelujah. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. 1 John chapter 4 and from verse 7. Let's read that also. 1 John chapter 4 and from verse 7. 1 John chapter 4 and from verse 7. It says, beloved, let us love one another. Can you see the scriptures? Tonight we're just reading scriptures about love. Let us love one another, for love is of God. Can you see that? Love is a God thing. Amen. So love was not invented by the world. Love was not invented by some boyfriend. Do you understand? Yeah, love is not a boyfriend thing. Love is not a girlfriend thing. Do you see? He says love is what? That means anybody who is truly walking in love, it must lead you to God. Isn't it? Yeah, love must lead you to church. Love must lead you into prayer. Love must lead you into Bible reading. Not other things, not drunkenness. Do you understand? Love must not lead you to nightclub. What do you think? So everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Isn't it? Which means that love is a God thing. He says love is of God. Love comes from God. And so everyone who finds it, everyone that loveth is born of God. That means that person is also from God. Do you understand? Because love has its source in God. So when you see someone carrying love, it means the person is coming from God. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying. If I say that the water is in the bathroom, so everyone you meet outside here who is wet, where is he coming from? He's coming from the bathroom. Are you hearing it? So it says, love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Hallelujah. Then it says, he that loveth not. The reason is because he does not know God. Hallelujah. Yeah. So people who do not know God cannot love. They can like, but they cannot love. Michael, do you understand? People who do not know God cannot walk in love. You see? So you should not believe somebody. When someone tells you, I love you, you have to check, does he know God? Because if he does not know God, he does not go to church, he's not born again, he's not born of God, then he cannot love you. Do you understand? He cannot love you. He cannot do the things of love. Because love is of God. Hallelujah. When you read another one of the verses we're about to read, you begin to understand why the Bible says love is of God. Do you understand? Because the way love is, only God can make it happen. Gloria, do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And so when you have someone who claims to love you, you need to push them more into God. Do you understand? Because that's where the real thing is. Without God, you can like somebody, you can be nice to somebody, but the thing called love, you cannot really love them. Hallelujah. Love is too difficult. It's impossible without God. He says, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. You get it? He that loveth not, what is the problem? He knoweth not God. Hallelujah. He that loveth not, if you don't love, you don't know God. Do you understand? Or if you don't know God, you cannot love. Hallelujah. Because God is love itself. So to walk in love is to walk in God. Do you understand? And if you miss God, or you do not live in God, you cannot walk in love. Hallelujah. For God is love. And then verse 9, what does verse 9 say of this chapter? It says, in this was manifest the love of God towards us. Do you understand? Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. This is John 3:16 put another way, isn't it? He says that this is how God showed his love towards us, in that he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Hallelujah. So God is the source of love. God is the place. He is the root of love. Hallelujah. So if you want to walk in love, get deeper into God. Hallelujah. And the deeper you get into God, the more love you will have for people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. and to be able to know whether someone loves you, check whether they are into God. If they are not into God, don't believe what they are saying. Do you understand? Don't believe, because anybody can say anything. You see, even I can say I'm a pilot. I'm a pilot. I've said it. Does that make me one? See, even Jason is laughing at me. You get it? Because he can't even... He's a pilot? He's not. But I say I am. Do you understand? I say I am. You get it? Because talk is cheap. Anybody can say anything. So in the same way, as much as I can say I love you, or I can say I'm a pilot, I can also say I love you. Do you understand? But that does not mean that I love you. Real love, the Bible says, you need to know God to have any of it at all. Hallelujah. And the more you are into God, the more you will understand love, and the more of it you will have for people. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you understanding the verse that I'm sharing with you today? So love is a God thing, and without God, none of us can have any of it. Let's read on a little bit. Let's see what else is there. Verse 10. It says, herein is love. Herein is love. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Hallelujah. If God so loved us, then we really have to love one another. Verse 12. Okay. It says, no man has seen God at any time. Can you see it? If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Do you understand the argument the guy is making? He started by saying that God is love. And nobody has love who does not know God. Do you understand? So he's saying that, look, even this God we are talking about, who has seen him? Nobody has seen him at any time. And so the proof of his presence in any place or with anyone is the love that the person has for another person. Can you see the scripture? Yeah. Go back to it again, Pastor Munene, verse 11. It says that, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Then verse 12, it says, no one has seen God at any time. Do you get it? Yeah. If we love one another, then God dwelleth in us. So the proof of God's presence is the existence of what? Love. Hallelujah. Yeah. So he says that, so the proof of not God's presence is not people shaking. Do you get it? Because anybody can shake. Either they are convulsing, or somebody in their chest said, what a shock. Do you get it? So shaking is not proof of God's presence, but rather the walking in love. That there must be love. If there's love in the church, then God is there. Join it. Are you getting what I'm saying? If there is no love in the church, then God is not there, no matter how loud they sing. Are you getting it? No matter how big their posters are, no matter how posh and plush their meeting space is, God is not there. Run for your life. Hallelujah. Because the proof of God's presence is the existence of love. It says, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hallelujah. Next verse, please, brother. He says, hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us. He said, this is how we know that we are in God and he is in us. Because he has given us of his spirit. Do you understand? He has put his spirit of love. He's put a piece of himself in us. And that's how we know that we are in him and he is in us. Do you get it? So you see that if you can't walk in love, everything else is useless. All the singing, all the shouting, all the praying, it was all useless. Do you get it? Because the real proof that God is with someone or is in that person is that he will give you a piece of his spirit. And that spirit is the spirit of love that he has. That is God himself. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Do you get it? Now you remember, the Father sending the Son to be the Savior of the world was based on what? Love. It was because he had so much love. So the sending of the Son itself was the manifestation or the proof of abundant love. Do you get it? So he says, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Do you see? Then the next verse, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. Say, God is love.
God is love.
And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Isn't it? So he says, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Then verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. You see, he says, as he is, that is, as he is in love, do you understand? So are we in this world. And because we are like him, as in he's love and we are also walking in love, he says we can have boldness in the day of judgment. You don't have anything to be afraid of because you are just like him. As he's walking in love, you also are walking in love. Can I have an amen? Then he says, there is no fear in love. Do you see? But perfect love casteth out what? Fear. Hallelujah. Yeah, because fear hath torment. Hallelujah. Perfect love, where there is love, there is no fear. He said, there's nothing to fear. And that's why he says, even the fact that you're walking in love should allow you to be bold towards judgment. Do you understand? You should not be afraid of judgment if you are walking in love. Do you understand? Then he says, because there is no fear in love. Recently, I was speaking to somebody the person had just told me that I don't trust you anymore. You see, when he said that, then I said, yeah. So it's because you don't love me anymore. When I told him that, he said, oh, no, you can't say that. Because I can tell you, and he was saying confidently, he said, I can tell you, I can assure you that I have not left my love walk. Then I told him that, you see, you don't know the Bible. You don't understand. I'm going to give you two verses that show that you are wrong. And then I gave him, this was one of them. I told him that the Bible says there is no fear in love, and perfect love casts out fear. That means if you have love to the maximum, fear goes down to zero. So if love is 40%, then fear is how much? 60%. So to the extent that you do not have love, you have fear. Do you get it? That is how come you can tell me that you don't trust me anymore. You don't trust me anymore because your love for me has gone down by as much lack of trust there is. Hallelujah. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. So he says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. It makes everybody uncomfortable. It puts everyone on edge, and everyone is afraid. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Do you understand? It means his love has not grown to the top. That is why he's afraid. You see? And the Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. Hallelujah. We love him because he first loved us. So, the next verse. If a man say. Say, if a man say. Say, if I say. Okay, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a what? Say liar. Let me hear the kids say liar.
Liar.
Say liar. Liar. Yeah. Point out and say liar. Liar. Yeah, use your finger. Say liar.
Liar.
Uh-huh. Can you see that? The Bible says, if a man say, I love God. Say, I love God. Say, I love God. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a what? Let me hear the kids again. He's a what?
Liar.
He's a liar. Can you see that? Yeah. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen. How can he love God, whom he has not seen? Huh? Michael. Liar. Akwesi. He says that if a man say he loves God, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Do you understand? Yeah. So those fighting brothers and fighting sisters. Do you get it? Yeah. Fighting brothers and sisters who claim they love one another, the Bible says they are liars. How can you claim to love God whom you have not seen? Do you understand? When you do not love your brother whom you have seen. Do you understand? Yeah. Then if you go on to verse 21. And this commandment we have from him. That he who loveth God, love his brother also. Amen. Amen. This is a commandment that God has given us. That if you love God, then you better love your brother also. Hallelujah. What is the next verse? Is there another one? That's whoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God. And everyone, whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. In other words, if you love the one who gave birth, you must love also what he gave birth to. Is it not the case? Yeah. So if you say, I love God, and God has given birth to me, how can you hate me? And say, oh, but I love God very much. I just don't like his son that he gave birth to. No, 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 no. Hallelujah. So whosoever believeth, by this we know, that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. Do you see? For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. So you see, it's interesting. It's a circle. Because he's saying that the proof of loving God is in keeping his commandments. Do you understand? And when you keep his commandments, that's how you know that you love God. Do you understand? He says, we know that we love the children of God when we love God. Do you get it? When we love God, it makes us know that we love the children of God. And we love God by keeping his commandments. So you see, his commandments send you to loving his children. And loving his children means that you love him. You get it? And when you love him, you keep his commandments. And then the cycle just continues over and over again. And the Bible says his commandments are not what? They are not grievous. So when someone says that, hey, it's not easy to be a Christian, God's commandment, tell the person you're a liar. The Bible says that his commandments are not grievous. The problem you are having is that you do not love God. You get it? That's the problem. You are trying to obey rules. You see, but it's difficult to obey rules if you don't love the person who has given the rules. Hallelujah. And to God, it's not rules, it's just love. You obey him out of love. Not because he will kill you, but because you don't want to hurt his feelings, if you like. Can I have an amen? Right. So what is there? For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
It's powerful, isn't it? Let's read one more group of scriptures from the book of John. Let's start from Matthew. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. Verse 43. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Isn't that what we know? Hey, you love those who like you, and you hate those who hate you. Isn't it? Yeah. But I say unto you, love your enemies. This is Jesus Christ. Can you see real Valentine at work? You get it? You love those who do not wish you well. It says, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Hey, means that when you are at the stoplight and someone cuts you off or someone does something and the person actually looks out and curses you, then you're supposed to say, I bless you, brother. Hey, can you see that love is a God thing? Okay, and he says that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Hey, then the next verse. That ye may be the children of your Father, so that you can look like your Father. Do you understand? Which is in heaven. For he maketh his Son to rise on the evil and the good. God doesn't let the sun shine only on good people. Did you get it? Like when you go out, even when you check the weather forecast, when you ask Siri, what's the weather forecast? It depends on where you live. And it depends on who you are. If you're a good person, it's going to rain today. If you're a bad person, if you're a good person, it's going to be sunny. But if you're a bad person, then get ready, because you have personal snow. Hey, do you see? But that's not the kind of God we serve. He says he makes his Son to rise on the evil and the good. And he sends rain also on the just and the unjust. Can you see that?
Yeah.
For if we love them which love us, if ye love them which love you, what reward is it? It's not special. It's only natural to like someone who likes you. Do you get it? Yeah. Then he says, do not even the publicans the same? Even people who do not know God, notorious sinners, they know that it's good to be nice to someone who is nice to you, and to resent someone who resents you. It's as simple as that. Even something, you don't even have to resent them. They resent you, you just don't mind them. And you just mind your own business. Is it not the case? Yeah. But God is challenging us to a higher standard. Can you see that? Yeah. That he says that, look, he loves even people who do not love him. And he causes the sun to rise on the just and even the unjust. He says, if ye salute your brethren only. You see, this is where many of us are guilty. That we like our type only. And like people who are nice to us only. Even in the church, you see that people often keep to those who are nice to them. Do you understand? At the end of the service, they just flow with those who flow with them. And then that is it. But he says that if you do that, what do ye more than others? Means you are not special. Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Hallelujah. Amen. So God's perfection is revealed in the fact that his love is for the entire world and not just a small group of people. Hallelujah. Amen. Luke chapter 6 and from verse 27. Luke chapter 6 and from verse 27. Okay. It's a similar scripture. He says, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you. Can you see that? And pray for those who despitefully use you. Okay? And the next verse, and unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. This is one of the least obeyed scriptures in the entire Bible. Hey, what a shock. Have you seen, since you became a Christian, have you seen anybody obeying the scripture before? Pastor Munene, have you seen somebody since you became born again? Huh? Yeah. Unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And to him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Verse 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those who love them. So Christians have to have a higher standard, isn't it? Yeah. So what is the next one? It says, and if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. So where is the standard? Verse 35. But if ye love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So you can see that a Christian must have a higher standard. What do you think? A Christian must have a higher standard and walk in a higher level of love. Hallelujah. All right, so one more scripture, one more group of scriptures. Mark chapter 12 from verse 30. Mark chapter 12 from verse 30. And we'll read up to about 33 maybe. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. It says, now, 30. It says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Can you see that? And with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is the summary of Christianity, isn't it? This is the summary of Christianity. Let's read on to verse 32 and verse 33. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Do you see? Then the next verse, verse 33. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said to him, thou art not far from the kingdom. Can you see? And he says, no man dares after ask him any question. But can you see that when someone began to understand that love is the key, he quickly told him that you are actually coming close to the kingdom. Do you understand? That loving God with all your might, with your understanding and everything, and then number two, loving your neighbor, someone near you. Do you understand? Loving your neighbor. When the person said, "It, I agree with you, looks like you have spoken the truth, that loving God and loving your neighbor," so he said, look, my friend, you are not too far from the kingdom. Do you understand? So as we learn to walk in love, we are going to be nearer God. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're going to be nearer God. Now, let me show you one more thing. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 is a very, 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 very... Actually, before you do John chapter 8, let's do Galatians chapter 5. Tonight, we're reading a lot of scriptures just about love. I hope you're not tired of the scriptures. Are you enjoying the scriptures? Okay. So, for some reason, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 14. Have you found it? For all the law, can you see? All the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, do you get it? If ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another. Do you see? Because all the law, everything God expects of you, is fulfilled in one word, which is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. So if I were you, I would just forget about everything for now and try to perfect love.
Amen.
What do you think? Yeah. Try to perfect love. You see, now let me show you something. John chapter 8 and verse 1. Here is an interesting story in John chapter 8. And Jesus teaches us a very important lesson. He says, he went onto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him and sat down, and he sat down and taught them. Can you see that? Akwesi, can you see from where you are? All right. Now listen. And the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Not that they say, but we saw it directly. Do you understand? Then in verse 5, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Do you see? Now this, they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Okay, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Okay. Then, next verse, and when, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest. I don't know why the eldest went first, but they understood it quicker. Okay, so beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone because he knew no sin. Do you understand? So he was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. So in verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers?" Do you see? And then, "Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee." Do you see? "Go and sin no more." Now, after Jesus had demonstrated this, then look at the next verse. Verse 14. He says, right after this, he says in verse 14, that, have you got it? That Jesus answered and said to them, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true." Oh no, this is, okay, yeah. "For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go." And then the next verse, we skipped. Oh, okay. So then go back, because the verse, we skipped 12 and 13. Great. This is the verse I'm looking for. Perfect. He said, "Go." So put 11 and 12 together so we can understand it. So here in 11, she's saying that, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Can you see that? "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world." Can you see that? Then he says, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Hallelujah. Amen. Now, what was Jesus trying to say? Because what had he just done? If you put this whole scripture, you see, this is verse 10. In verse 10, he's telling the woman that, "I forgive you." Do you understand? "I will not condemn you. Just go and sin no more." Then in verse 11, he's saying, or verse 11 or verse 12, whichever one it is, he's saying right there that, "I am the light of the world." Do you understand? And anybody who follows me, even in what I have just done, do you understand? That person will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Are you getting it? Now, when you turn to 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, and from verse 9, you know, let's read from verse 9 to verse 11. Tonight is love scripture night, isn't it? Yeah, there are a lot of people getting drunk tonight. We are getting drunk. Everybody is having overdose tonight, isn't it? Whether it's alcohol or scriptures. We have chosen scriptures. So everybody is ODing tonight. Okay. Now, listen. "He that saith," listen, "he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness." Can you see that? Yeah. "Even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." Have you seen the scripture? So Jesus had said earlier that anybody who follows me, do you understand, shall not walk in darkness, but he will walk in the light. Are you getting it? Then he comes to the scripture comes to show us here that walking in hatred is actually what keeps you in darkness. Do you understand? And that walking in love rather allows you to have light. So no wonder after the people had brought the woman with hatred and getting ready to stone her to death in the name of practicing the scripture, Jesus actually said the one who has not done anything before should throw the stone. And the people could not throw the stone. And then as the woman went free and he told her, don't do it again, go and sin no more. Then he said, I am the light of the world. I don't know if you understand what I'm showing you tonight. That when you walk in forgiveness, do you understand? You will have a lot of light. You will walk in light. In life, many things happen. And you will experience many different things across your life. And all the things you experience will call for responses. But all the responses often lead us out of the light. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. The responses lead us out of the light. So like this woman, when she was caught committing adultery, the people had brought her and they were ready to stone her, to give her what they thought she deserved. You see? But that move was a move into darkness. But Jesus took the step that brought light, and then he said that anybody who follows me, he will also have the light of life. Now, it is from this scripture that we begin to understand how people dwell in darkness. People dwell in darkness because they hate their brother. Do you understand? Remember, the Bible says, he that hateth his brother is a murderer. Do you understand? So only murderers walking in hatred wanted to see the woman dead for what she had done. Do you understand? But anybody who was walking in the light was not looking for that. And so he says that anybody, he that saith he is in the light and wants his brother dead, do you understand? He is in darkness. He is not in the light. Do you get it? So you should watch out for temptations that come to your life to bring darkness into your life. Do you understand? The only way to escape the darkness is actually to walk in the light. And to walk in the light is to walk in love. As we walk in the love, we follow Christ and walk in love, then we begin to have a lot of light. Do you understand? And the Bible says when you have a lot of light, you understand a whole lot of things. You get it? Now, Ephesians chapter 3, that's the last one. We are ODing tonight. 100 scriptures we are reading. Okay. Have you found Ephesians chapter 3? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Let's start from verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by what? By faith. That ye being what? Rooted and what? Grounded in what? Love. May be able to do what? Comprehend. What does comprehend mean? May be able. So it means without being rooted and grounded in love, a lot of things you will not get. Do you understand? So being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Amen. What is in verse 19? And to know the love of Christ. Do you understand? Which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God, who is light. Are you getting the scriptures? Yeah. So the way to be filled with God and the way to be filled with light is to have a rooting and a grounding in love so that you can understand and so you can get it. Hallelujah. Amen. That is why the scripture says anybody who is not walking in love is, I tell you, are surrounded by darkness you don't even know. Hallelujah. Amen. So I want to encourage us all tonight on Valentine's night to make love a priority. Hallelujah. Not the kind of love that we are talking, or a lot of people are talking about today. Do you understand? not Chinese restaurant type of love. Do you understand? Yeah. Not the kind of love that has been reduced to chocolate. do you understand? Yeah. Chocolate is not the symbol of love. Chocolate is not the symbol of love. No. But rather, God is the symbol of love. Hallelujah. Love is of God. And tonight, I want you to decide that, you know, I'm going to watch my love walk. And I'm going to be intentional about walking in love. Hallelujah. And if you read the scriptures, you know, when you go home, you can read 1 Corinthians 13 because I'm resisting the temptation to read another scripture. You get it? You want to OD further? Okay, Pastor Malene, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You get it? And from verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter. Well, we can start from verse 1 so that we can all see the importance of love. And do you have another version? Another version so it can break it down a little bit. So we don't read evil concupiscence. Okay. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Are there any of you who speak with the tongues of angels here? Yeah. Okay. But do not have love. Do you understand? I am become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Why not? Because you are full of darkness. Isn't it? You are not full of light. So your tongues don't mean anything. You see? Then it says, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries. That's complex things that people don't understand. Now, if someone has a dream and he sees crabs, I understand. Someone has a dream and he sees snakes, they understand. If you have a dream and you see what? Offering basket, you understand. If you have a dream and you see dwarfs, you understand. If you have a dream and you see tomatoes, you understand. You have a dream and you see pear, you understand. Do you get it? You understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and have all faith. So as to remove mountains. Because the Bible said that if we have the mustard seed, remember, we can move mountains. So you have enough faith to remove many mountains, not just one. Do you get it? But you do not have love. What is it? It says, I am what? This love thing must be very important. Is it not amazing? Yeah. It must be very important. Okay. Then the next one. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, you see, and if now I surrender my own body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. You see, now that also tells you that there are a lot of sacrifices you can make that don't mean that you are actually in love. Do you understand? Yeah, there are a lot of sacrifices, personal sacrifices you can make. You can give a lot of money. You can buy things for people. You can do people a favor. But you will not be doing it in love. It is possible to do a lot of great favors for people, which you do not do in love. You do it out of necessity. You do it because of what people will say if you don't do it. You do it to impress people. But not because you are actually acting in love. And the Bible says when you do that, it brings you nothing. Do you understand? So you think God is about to bless you, but he's not. Because there was no profit from the act. Isn't it? All right, next verse. Now look at the things of love. It says that love is patient. Hey, love is kind. Huh? Love is not jealous. Does not brag. Huh? Is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. Do you see? It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Hey, does not take into account a wrong. Do you understand? Yeah, it means that when love is adding this plus this plus this plus a wrong. No, love skips that. You get it? It does not add the wrong. Do you see? Yeah. So it does not take into account a wrong suffered, and does not rejoice in unrighteousness. So you see, love is described in a lot of, in terms of a lot of things it does not do. Do you get it? It's in terms of a lot of things that a person must restrain themselves from doing. Can you understand what I'm sharing with you? So it does not, it says, but it rejoices in the, with the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. How many know that not all things are believable? It believes all things. It hopes all things. You see, it believes all things. It is well. And then it hopes all things. Maybe things will get better. And if things don't get better, it endures all the things anyway. Do you get it? Don't you realize that this takes God to do? Are you getting it? That is why the scripture says that if you can forget about everything else and just walk in love, you'll still make it to heaven. He says the whole commandment, because all of Christianity, this is it. This is all of Christianity summarized here. Hallelujah. Yeah, this is all of Christianity put together in a summary here, which is to walk in love. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage all of us tonight to emphasize love. Emphasize walking in love. Do you understand? Pray that God will fill your heart with love. Because the more spiritual you become, the closer you get to God, the more you find yourself interested in walking in love. The more you judge your spirituality by your love walk. You don't judge your spirituality anymore by even how long you prayed. Do you get it? Because people are giving their bodies to be burned. You are just praying for 1 hour. What is the difference? You get it? Even those who give their bodies to be burned have become nothing. How much more? You didn't give your body to be burned. You just got up and you prayed some sleepy tongues. And you get it? Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. People have given all their goods to feed the poor. All their goods to feed. And then when they finish, they give their bodies to be burned. Do you understand? People have deep understanding of mysteries, complex mysteries. They can explain mysteries of the creature with 7 horns and different kinds of mysteries they are explaining. Even they, the Bible says they are nothing. So forget about them. Hallelujah. And it is only because they are without this one ingredient called love. Hallelujah. So you can see this ingredient called love is greater than chocolate. Isn't it? It's greater than Chinese restaurant. You see, it's greater than just what somebody says. It is God Himself. Amen. And the day that Jesus showed love to somebody who others thought did not deserve love, immediately after that, He told them, if you follow me, you will have the light of life. If you follow me in this act, if you do what I've just done, you will have the light of life. Hallelujah. So that is what we need to focus on. It is difficult, but that is what Christianity is about. And if we'll apply ourselves to that, I believe we'll become more spiritual. And we'll have more of God in our lives. And we'll see His hand at work in our lives more and more. Amen. Amen. So let's stand to our feet and pray tonight that God will fill our hearts and our lives with Himself. Amen. Amen. It says, for God is love. Let's pray that God will fill us with love. Everybody pray tonight and say, Lord, I want to walk in love. If a person can give his body to be burned without love, then it's a serious thing. You would have thought that if you saw someone sacrificing his body to be burned, it would only mean one thing, that he has a lot of love. But the Bible says you can do it. You can give your body to be burned. You can give your body for other things and yet not have love. You can sacrifice, you can get yourself worn out, tired, and yet not have love. So let us pray that God will cause us to have love. God will help us and will grant us love, will give us love in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we pray for your blessing tonight of the Spirit of love, that we may walk in love, that we may walk in love, that we may grow in love, that we may increase in love in the name of Jesus. We pray that you will increase in us in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, that we will not just walk or talk about love, but Lord, that we will love indeed and not just in word. In the name of Jesus Christ, let our actions show that we really know God. May we be people who walk in love, people who show love, people who show love to one another, and people who love especially you. In the name of Jesus, help us. Forgive us, O God, where we have not walked as children of light, where we have walked more like children of darkness, where we have claimed to love but lived the opposite of that. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Father, for your blessing tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.